High school, if you're in high school, come on up. Something moms really enjoy are hearing their children.
Oh, we only have two?
You ladies are on the spot. They love hearing their children read the Word of God, especially if you have Christian mothers. So, if you ladies could split Psalm 104.
Psalm 104.
Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are...
Hang on. There you go.
Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters.
He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of wind. He makes the wind his messengers, flames of fire his servants. He set the earth on its foundations. It can never be moved. You covered it with the watery depths as with a garment. The water stood above the mountains.
But at your rebuke, the waters fled. At the sound of your thunder, they took to flight. They flowered over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned them.
You set a boundary they cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains.
They give water to all the beasts of the field. The wild donkeys quench their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work.
He makes grass grow from the cattle and for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth, wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts.
The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. There the birds make their nests. The stork has its home in its junipers. The high mountains belong to the wild goats. The crags are a refuge for the hyrax.
He made the moon to mark the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. You bring darkness, it becomes night, and all the beasts of the forest prowl. The lions roar for their prey and seek their food from God. The sun rises and they steal away. They return and lie down in their dens. Then people go out to their work, to their labor until evening.
How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom, you make them all. The earth is full of your creatures. There is the sea, vast and spacious, teeming with creatures beyond number, living things both large and small.
There the ships go to and fro, the Leviathan which you form to frolic there. All creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. When you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things.
When you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. May the Lord rejoice in his works.
He who looks at the earth and it trembles, who touches the mountains and they smoke. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live.
Amen. Oh, there's one more.
May my meditation be pleasing to him as I rejoice in the Lord, but may sinners vanish from the earth and the wicked be no more. Praise the Lord, my soul. Praise the Lord.
Now, amen. All right. Woo!
one more surprise, but it's much better, and it's not just for you two. Whew, boy, I think I'm going to pay for that one later. Yeah, probably. Let us bow our heads. Lord, your name is truly above all names. And at the sound of your voice, everything came into being that has been and will be. And Lord, it's that same voice that speaks to us now. Lord, I ask that you would bring your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts as I present the message and to speak to my own heart, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I tested this earlier. Let's see if it works. All right. Now, it being Mother's Day, one of the things you're probably thinking I'm going to give is probably some anecdotes about my own childhood, because of all the children in the world, one of the most loved and most feared type of children is the curious child. I could tell you stories about how I wanted to see how you fly, and you jump off the roof with a bedsheet tied to yourself, and thank goodness it had rained like today, and I didn't break anything. And I don't know if Mom knows about that one yet. She's not actually here. I could tell you about the time we had a good dear friend who was a surgical nurse and also a mountain climber, and he gave us some climbing rope, and bungee jumping was becoming a new thing. Let's just say, thankfully, the only thing that broke my fall was a brother. Mom knows about that one. But I'm not. I'm going to give you a message here about creation, which I think in a big way ties in with motherhood, because in a big way you mothers continue and add and mirror his act of creation in us, your sons and daughters. And if it weren't for my mother and how she raised me, I wouldn't be who I am. So it's her fault. Remember that. No, I'm kidding. So some context. Psalm 104 is what I'm preaching out of today. It's called His Creation, His Commitment, Our Calling, and Our Confidence. I know that's really tiny, but that's the worst part of it. The rest of it's in bigger font. There's a block of Psalms, Psalm 103 through 106, that all begin, "Praise the Lord," in all caps. I always wondered kind of what that was until I read the footnotes. "My soul," and then 103 continues, "All my inmost being, praise His holy name." It's about God's personal relationship with you and I, what He's done for us. Our sins, our diseases, our desires. It's the character of God to His people. And then we get to Psalm 104, the one I'm going to be talking about. It says, "Lord my God, you are very great." And just in case we're getting a little bit egocentric after Psalm 103, it's about what He's done for the rest of space and time. The character of God and His creation story. Psalm 105 then says, "Proclaim His name, make known among the nations what He has done." And we've done 103, personal. We've done 104, the creation. 105 then is we proclaim to the world, once we've got proper focus, what He's done. And it's the retelling of the escape from Egypt. Then we go into Psalm 106, and it ends, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever." It brings it back full circle and gives praise back to God. It talks about wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So not only will God always be praised, if we neglect to praise Him, there's some consequences to it and there's some possible wandering. But my job today is Psalm 104. It begins with our call, "Praise the Lord, my soul." And I'm going to say that the author, 103 says it's David. The rest of them don't really say. I'm going to assume it's David. One of you guys who have studied a bit more will probably say, "Oh, it's so-and-so, the high priest." That's fine. Tell me afterwards and I'll make a note. He invokes the name, and this Matt, where are you? There you are. It invokes the name of Yahweh. And they were talking about the name of God. Now, Yahweh is God's proper name. He gives it to Himself in Exodus 3:12 through 15. He says, "I am the Lord, the God of your fathers. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation." And it's also Moses writing Genesis, but we see the same name, Yahweh, being used in Genesis 2:15. It creates the God, it connects the God of creation, whose hand who hands the garden to Adam to tend, to the God who saves his people in Exodus 3, 12 through 15, and to the God of the promise in David's psalm. You can also read Isaiah 11, 1, and you'll see the name of Yahweh. I am who I am. Praise the Lord. So we've got that. Now, I thought Dan might get a kick out of this one, and our worship team. My soul. Now, some of you guys may correct my pronunciation of this, but nephesh. Nephesh is the word for soul. It also means all my being, all my emotions, all my power, everything. My soul, a sentient being, everything. So praise the Lord, the Creator, Saver, Redeemer, my soul, my emotions, myself, my passions, that's in there too, everything. So it's a wake-up call. It's an inner and deliberate wake-up call to worshiping the Lord, Yahweh, and giving Him the glory due His name, again, as Creator, Savior, and looking forward, as Redeemer. Who of you guys, I have a new coffee here. It was called Rev. And it had this really bright orange package on it. It talked about how strong and powerful it was and dark roast and all that. And I actually had to get the box. The advertising was so good. I got the box out to make sure they didn't add extra caffeine or some weird guarine, guava, something to it that would interact with something else. But it didn't. How many of you guys today had to get your soul ready for the service? Anybody? How many of you guys, like myself, needed a little extra rev this morning? That's what this is talking about. This is what I think David is really saying when he says, "Praise the Lord, my soul." He's invoking that of himself. Get ready, because you're about to meet the Creator, the Savior, and Redeemer, and I want to be ready when He comes. How many of you guys would come to a meeting with, say, the President of the United States or even the President of the school board without being prepared? How many of us disrespect the name of God by not coming prepared? Not that we need to be perfect, not that we need to be in some way the right words, but we need to give the Lord the glory due His name, to be prepared for Yahweh. That was only one A. We've got like, what, 50 more to go? 38. I'm going to start chunking these together. And you're going to notice a theme. We have the call, and now we have His creation. You are clothed in glory and grandeur. If you read through it, it talks about He wraps Himself in light with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. And 1 through 9, He goes through the whole creation story again. But I think what He's saying is that creation is a tangible work of God. It's a restating of creation, but one that emphasizes His tangible works, His clothes of splendor and majesty, and how we can literally feel and see aspects of Him. It is kind of esoteric to sit and think about God clothing Himself in light and spreading out the heavens like a tent. But the second part of that is we can look up today. Well, we'll see the clouds, but you still see some light. And we see His creation as something we can touch and feel. When I had a cat, her favorite place, was at the end of our driveway on 39. That's where the sun would hit, first in the morning and last in the evening. And actually, that's where she died, was in a sunbeam. We thought she had been hit by a car, and I went out there and we kind of poked her. Oh, no, she's dead. But nope, she was just perfectly contented, asleep, and she passed away in a sunbeam. The tangible works of God. So the other thing is that they say, let me find it here. Well, it talks about the thunder of His voice. And like I mentioned earlier, the thunder of His voice is actually the same voice that speaks creation into being in Genesis. God spoke, and it was. How many of you guys today are blown away by the fact that that same voice that created the heavens and the earth, that created the water, that created the sky, that created those stink bugs, those Chinese things that kind of look like ladybugs, but they smell like something weird when you vacuum them up. The angels in heaven, he created them. But it's the same voice that speaks to you and I. The same thundering voice. And in here it says that his voice pierced, it pierced the water in the heavens and brought it over the mountains into the ravines that he assigned for it. That's the same voice that speaks to you. Does it scare you a little bit? How many of you guys have ever been to an airport? You ever watch an airplane take off? How close have you been to that airplane? Inside, hopefully. Well, there's a spot in Toledo where my Uncle Chris, who was really into airplanes, would take us at the end of the runway. And they had the F-15 and the 14 Tomcats, the big fighter jets. And you'd sit right at the end at the fence, because the people with guns would tell you not to go any farther. But those jets would take off and go right over top of you, and the roar of those engines was just amazing and terrifying. Just terrifying. Take a however many ton airplane and take it into the air. Well, this is the voice of God that created the heavens and the earth, and he's talking to us. What is he creating in our soul when he does that? God is saying, I have shown you my deeds and my faithfulness in them. And David is remembering that. Things I can touch, things I can see. I praise him, I say prayers, and then I wonder where he's gone, and I can actually reach out and touch his creation. We've got his care in verses 10 through 26. The Lord's trees are well watered. Now this is the part that kind of struck me, because you know, you think about it and you understand it, but it doesn't really sink in. Number one, creation is permeated by his care. His sustaining power pours water into the ravines and waters in the mountains from his upper chambers. From the top to the bottom, his care covers it all. And his care is sufficient. It says in Psalm 104, the land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. And my question to you, are you satisfied by the fruit of his work? The middle schoolers and the high schoolers and I are going to be going over Genesis 3 today. And what is the word of the snake? Anybody? Did he really say, is he really good? His work is sufficient, and the land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. His work is continued and mirrored by our own creations and work. It mentions wine, oil, and bread. Those aren't things that are grown. Well, the initial ingredients are grown, but these are things that take work from our hands. And I don't mean to be crass, but there's some work in having children. Whether adopted or natural born. I hear some of the stories of, I know Angel's labor was about 20 plus hours for each of the girls. I know, and I also hear stories of people adopting children, and it takes years sometimes to get them. But aren't we all adopted in the family of the Lord? Amen. Amen. We were chosen by him. So his work is continued and mirrored by our own creation and work. How are you mirroring and extolling the work of the Lord with your own work? David's asking us that, and I'm sure he's asking himself that. His work is continued. Oops, I already said that. His care is even for those that are remote and hard to touch. Lexi, props for saying the word hyrax. That was pretty good. Most people never run into that word in their life. I was hoping that Steve McKee would be here today because maybe he would. He's our naturalist, retired from Gorman Nature Center. Maybe he would kind of give us a heads up during Circle Church about that. But he mentions the stork, the wild goats, and the hyrax. How many of you guys have toddlers right now? Are they wild goats? Do you ever have to go chasing them into the high crags of the mountains? or the top of the stairs coming down the banister, you know, anyways. So his care is even those for those that are remote and hard to touch. If you're one of those animals, one of those people that likes to go off in the remote island and not have anything to do with anybody because people are dumb, people are hurtful, whatever reason, the Lord says, I'll still find you. My love is still for you. My creation is still there. You are mine, and I care for you as well. His care is perfectly timed. Any season, any day or night. Perfectly timed. Do you believe that? How many of you guys have had trials this week? Raise it high, Sam. Do you feel like it was perfectly timed? If I'm honest, those trials come at the worst time. Maybe that's why they're trials. But this, David in Psalm 104 says, no, take a look at everything that is around you. Every high place, every low place, every season, every time, every rainy cloud, I've timed it. It's perfect. And finally, on this particular slide, my favorite one, his work is vast. His work is vast and has plenty of room to frolic. It's a new word for today, frolic. If you look out in the world and you think you're isolated and you think you've got your own little small corner and nobody else cares that you're restricted and you're held down, all you have to do is look around at his work and see how vast it is. And not only his physical work in creation, but his freedom and love for us is really what sets us free to frolic and play and get to know him and get to know his world and his creation. It's vast. And if you just, I know they're launching a new telescope to kind of replace Hubble here shortly. NASA's been, that's one of the channels I get on TV. My girls go, Dad, you're watching science stuff again. I know. But SpaceX just launched a new rocket yesterday as well. And I watched the launch. And it's not just the provenance of government anymore to launch rockets into space. How many of you guys are in elementary school? Not act like elementary school. No. If you're in elementary school now, by the time you get into college, you might be in a retail space exploration program. That's how amazing it's becoming. Just to look at the stars. I remember flying over the Pacific Ocean when I went to Japan right after high school. And you're flying at about 30, 40,000 feet at like 700 miles an hour or something like that, and you're over the Pacific Ocean and there's no lights below you. The only lights above you are the stars, and you look at them and they don't blink anymore. You guys ever see stars that don't twinkle? That's the atmosphere, and it just blew me away. I'd never seen that before. So I stood at the little window, and they must have thought I was going to grab the exit hatch and go because the stewardess came up. Do you need anything? No, I'm fine. I'm just looking at the stars. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, saying, you okay, sir? Yes, I'm fine. I'm just looking at the stars. Thank you. In verses 27 through 30, we have his commitment. And because of his commitment, we have our confidence. All your creations wait for you. Only God provides, and what he provides is good. Again, we're going to be studying Genesis 3 in the teen group. It's the core of our faith, because that's what Satan attacks first. Only God provides, and what he provides is good. Amen. Even life and death are per his timing. When you give it, all creatures look to you to give to them their food at the proper time. And when you give it to them, they gather it up. When you open your hand, they are satisfied with good things. When you hide your face, they are terrified. And when you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Now, I think you can take that several different ways. We've obviously got volcanoes erupting in Hawaii currently, and I've seen videos of that. There's a nice suburban tropical housing development. You got these beautiful birds and all this stuff, and then you watch this video of this volcanic vent opening up. I mean, we played that game in school, The Floor is Lava. You guys ever play that game, jump from couch to couch? Well, in Hawaii, literally, the floor is lava. And it's weird because you see this huge line with steam and ash coming out of it. And then there's a little suburban house. And then the suburban house burns down. The Lord renews the face of the earth. And I'm going to get a little geeky again with you guys because I've been watching the Space Channel. They're actually sending a new rocket to Mars because they think that Mars might still be active. The Lord renews the face of all creation. All creation. And aside from making us feel maybe just a little more small, or a little smaller, is that correct? Should make us feel all the more privileged that of all the places in the universe. In Psalm 103, David writes about how he cares for us. And in Psalm 104, even the hyrax and the stork and the toddler mountain goat are loved by him. And he renews the face of the ground. Now, the other side of that I was thinking of was, okay, I'm going to call on somebody. Miss Byram. What is, in Genesis 1, what we've been going through, 1 and 2, what does God make man out of? Dust. Okay, makes him out of the ground. So here, when you send your spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. When you come into a real encounter with Christ and his creation, and you realize the grandeur of all that's around us, clothed in light and splendor, does it change your face? Oh, you son of dust. It should change your face. Do you trust his timing even with life and death? Can you wait for the Lord to provide? Can we say it's all good? Can you be satisfied with what the Lord provides? His countenance, I was kind of reaching for C's at this point. Verses 31 through 32, may the glory of the Lord endure forever, or in some translations, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever. The King James Version says, shall endure forever. The NIV says, may. The Revised Standard said, let the glory of the Lord endure forever. Which do you prefer? Shall or may? Let's have a show of hands. How many of you prefer the King James, the glory of the Lord shall endure forever? Now, I'm not saying we're going to switch to it on majority vote. I'm just saying. Okay. How many of you prefer may or let? Yeah? Well, the King James, I think, indicates to me the inescapability of the Lord's pronouncements and his work. Mars and earth, the face of the physical earth and his creation, will endure no matter what I do about it. The others, places a hope in looking forward to the future of his work and his promises, and we acknowledge it. May the glory of the Lord endure forever. Let the glory of the Lord endure forever, because this one is about his creation, and we are what? His creation. May the glory of the Lord endure forever in us and in his creation forever. And it shall. Because either way, the will of the Lord, Yahweh, the God of creation, salvation, and redemption, shall be done. And may we be a part of it. If you'll turn with me to Philippians 1, 3 through 6. This is Paul speaking. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this. And I don't know if he's thinking about Psalm 104, but I know he's read it and themes like it. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? Our correlation, finished with C's. Verse 33 and 34, I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. I think David here is more concerned about a life well lived than the afterlife. And my question is, do you worry about a life well lived, like David is here? Or do you worry about death? Because David certainly had worries about dying. He was chased by Saul before he became king. He fought Goliath. He was chased by the Philistines, and who knows all after he was king. His own son rebels against him and tries to kill him. I will sing to the Lord as long as I live. If you worry about a life well spent, I'll go out on a limb and say death is taken care of. And I'll go even further on a limb and say that if you truly are saved, then nothing else really matters and death is taken care of. But the correlation is, once we know and we've felt God, his voice of creation around us physically, in our heart and our soul, then the correlation is we will rejoice in him and love him without even trying. It won't even be a legalistic thing. It'll just come out of us. And I think that's what Psalm 104 concludes with. That's why it's bookended. You heard Eric saying that if you hear something, especially in Hebrew text, bookended, it's pretty special. And the kids in the teen group will probably know that I enjoy the second part a lot. I just thought I'd throw this in here for justification, Kara, just saying. Thinking and pondering about creation is a form of rejoicing with God in his works. David is rejoicing in the creation of the world, feeling and touching it and acknowledging the Creator. And he's saying, that's worship. Verse 45, the conclusion, praise the Lord, my soul. There's that word again, nephesh. What is our response to the Creator of the universe, our Savior, and the Redeemer of creation? Either way, the Lord Yahweh, his name, that he calls himself and gave to us, that's pretty personal. His name will be praised. Now, one of the other surprise for the teen group, and I don't know if we're going to have enough time to do it, but we'll certainly try, is I've started everything with a C. Anybody know what one of my fondest memories of my mother is? No, you know. Cookies! The teens will be baking cookies for their mothers today upstairs. Now, here's the thing, though. The teens, this is not for you. Now, if your mother chooses to give you a cookie, that's their deal. Do you have a benevolent mother? One of my first three words, and I don't remember this, but my mother tells a story. I went to my grandmother's house when I was very young. One of the first words, the first three words I ever said to her, as she took me out of the car, I raised up my arms and I said, "Cookie, cake, candy?" So yes, my world does revolve around food. So Robert, would you like to come up?